Those of a certain age, perhaps a bit younger than Eileen, I'd say, may remember in the early 60s a popular TV series that began each episode with these words: "There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust your picture." And then this: "You are about to participate in a great adventure. You're about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits." For those that don't know, it was called The Outer Limits. We need to have those words, those emotions, not just in our minds, but way beyond the outer limits of our imagination. I'd like to look at the reading that Vivian read from Acts first, and perhaps you'd just like to close your eyes for a minute, and perhaps use your imagination as we hear Peter's words as he speaks to the Gentiles, albeit perhaps in a Yorkshire accent. And these words came before what Vivian has just read. And Luke starts off by saying, Peter took a big breath. Ruach, the Holy Spirit. "It became clear to me that God really does show no favoritism. No, in every race, people who fear him and do what is right are acceptable to him. He sent his word to the children of Israel, announcing peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know all about this and how the word spread through all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. God anointed this man, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were overpowered by the devil, since God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the land of Judea and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not indeed by all the people, but by those of us whom God had appointed beforehand. We ate and drank with him after he had been raised from the dead, and he commanded us to announce to the people and to bear testimony that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets give witness. He is the one. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." That, my friends, is the gospel spoken by one man who actually knew Jesus, walked and talked with him, witnessed his miracles he performed. He was, in short, an apostolic witness. Hence, the book of Acts also carries the title, The Acts of the Apostles. Peter was an apostle. He was one of the 12. He witnessed all Jesus' actions. And what about Luke, the author who wrote Acts? Well, okay, he wasn't an eyewitness like Peter, but he was the next best. He was part of the next generation who would have known some of the aging apostles. Some say he may have even known Mary, Jesus' mother. And Peter wanted to record their memories, as Luke himself said, in an orderly way, so that this morning's reading is not some fictional story, but a fully investigated and accurately recorded account of every event that was the turning point in the history of Christianity, indeed in the world. The event, if it can be defined as such, is of course salvation, being saved. But the real message of this morning's reading is this: salvation is offered to everyone, is offered to all peoples. I'll say it again, as this is the seismic experience that not only changed the Christian church, but changed the whole world. Salvation is offered to all peoples. To put those five verses from Acts that Vivian read into context, Peter was addressing a group of non-Jews, which included a man called Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile described as a righteous and God-fearing man who had respect for those who did believe, but perhaps like some today, who perhaps we don't often see in church, consider that they lead good lives, but don't necessarily admit to having a faith. And as such, they can be classed as outsiders. Now, Cornelius and Peter both had visions that brought them together. A follower of Jesus, Peter, and a follower of Caesar, Cornelius. The outcome of which was to change both men. Both men were converted. Cornelius became one, if not the first, non-Jewish convert to Christianity. Peter was also converted. Remember, Peter was a Jew. Christ was a Jew. So it was like for the Jews, he would have had that mindset. It's not for the Gentiles, and it's certainly not for a Roman centurion called Cornelius. Peter was also converted to accept that God's grace was for all and not just the chosen people of Israel. Remember those words Peter spoke. It became clear to me that God really does show no favoritism. No, in every race, people who fear him and do what is right are acceptable to him. The theologian John Stott said this, there is no barrier whatsoever to Christian salvation. In other words, membership in God's family is not by race, the colour of our skin or our ethnic makeup. It's by grace, his grace, the grace of God, which is available to everybody who truly, this is the key thing, who truly believe in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And doing what was right involved hearing God's word. This is for Cornelius. To hear the gospel proclaimed. That's why I read that at the beginning, folks. We need to hear the gospel proclaimed. If we can't do it in here, how are we going to do it out there? We've got to hear the word of God, the gospel. Not only that, to believe in Jesus. And what do we do on Ash Wednesday? Hear the gospel and repent. Those are the two things. And that here is the next thing that Cornelius needed after hearing Peter proclaim the gospel. So he's heard the gospel. And what he needed next, of course, was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. And Father, we pray as I spoke those gospel words out that your Holy Spirit would touch hearts and minds here this morning who have not heard that gospel message before. The Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message, including the Gentile, the outcast, the God-fearer, Cornelius. And that's it. That's the salvation for everyone. Salvation is available to everyone, and that is the turning point in Christianity. Indeed, the world. But of course, the story doesn't end there, either for Cornelius or those today who have heard the gospel. So we've heard the gospel. We pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and convert us, repenting and receive the gifts of God's Holy Spirit. And as a consequence, we now have the privilege of calling ourselves Christians. Not lukewarm Christians, but Christians that know the gospel. Next Sunday, a week on Sunday, the 23rd, the church celebrates the day of Pentecost when we welcome the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. Here at St. Wilfrid's, we'll also be welcoming our brothers and sisters in Christ who've perhaps been away from the church, what for whatever reasons they are, COVID or perhaps children playing sport, you name it. The church calls it Back to Church Sunday. But here's the thing, it should be called Back to Jesus Sunday. God and the church are explicably linked, as we, the people, are the church, the body of Christ. The gospel reading this morning refers to these words of Jesus. You did not choose me, I chose you. You might be thinking you're doing God a favour by being here this morning. God wanted you here. God wanted you here to hear that gospel message. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit. We are the fruit. We are the fruit of the vine that John talks about. The vine being Jesus, the true vine. And if we're separated from that vine and each other, our spiritual life suffers. I miss everybody who I haven't been seeing regularly on a Sunday since when? Last year. When we have so-called do's here or meetings and I look round and I'm not looking really at the people who are here, I'm looking at the people who aren't here. You've heard it said that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. The simple answer is, you do. You do need to go to church. We're feeding off each other when we're here. Christ is here with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. We grieve it when we don't see people in church, the leaders particularly. Salvation means being saved into a community, a spiritual community. Being a member of this community, the church, is not meant to be a life alone. I look around, I see three people that are here, widows and a widower. You know, they've lost their partner. They're finding community in this church. This is what it's about, folks. When you're not here, we miss you. We are an integral part of the vine. Hear the words of Jesus. I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. And then this, apart from me, you can do nothing. We participate not so much with him, but in him. Jesus wants to be in us all. That is our common purpose. We're entwined in and through the vine that is Christ. So you can see that we're not going back to him. He has not left us. It's not about the church, the building, the institution. It's about him, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Him, up from the dead, resurrected, a life everlasting, which is the great promise to us all. Yes, the church is a place where we can feed off him and each other. It's called communion. We do this every time we greet each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the many reasons we are saved is simply to glorify God. It's not about us, it's about him. We do this through God's grace for God's glory. How do we glorify God? By our actions, in coming to church to support and encourage one another in our faith. There are people that are not here this morning that can't be here. They would like to be here. They're in hospital. If they can't be here, we should be praying for them. If we know them, we should be praying for them and their families. It's supporting one another in our faith journey. Next Sunday, we'll have a wonderful opportunity to put our actions in front of us all, and no less a person than Sue, as she moves on in her journey. Like Jesus, she won't be leaving us, that's spiritually. Like us, Sue is part of the same vine and will be simply branching out. We therefore will send her out from this church to carry on doing God's work as a missionary up in the Dales to extend his kingdom up there. So as Sue and Paul, a husband, prepare to journey on from this place, we continue to hold them both in our thoughts and prayers throughout this week as we remember the words of Peter. They, like us, have received God's Holy Spirit. So Paul, Sue, I finish with these words I started this talk with. You are both about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits. Amen. Amen.